I know many of you today are joining us online because your church has chosen to disaffiliate, and you are in limbo because you did not agree with their decision for whatever reason. And I want to let you know that there is a group of us Arkansas elders who have joined together to bring about, we're actually trying to revive the old circuit rider tradition. And it's a resource for you to be able to continue together with your friends and your family and your church family during this time of limbo or this time of transition. So what is available are liturgies for worship, opening prayers that you laity can facilitate, and then there's also sermon series individual sermons that are available on a website that you can play as you seek to have maybe church in your home until this transition period is over. So I want to share with you that the address to this this group of pastors that are together on this is called www.methodistconnection.org. Now, there is an old Methodist Connection that was a theological group that had an agenda. And so I want you to understand that connection and this is spelt in the correct way, or not in the normal way. C-O-N-N-E-C-T-I-O-N, not with the X. If you go to the website with the X, you won't find what I'm offering to you through this this website. Again, it's www.methodistconnection.org. There's also a Facebook page that we have that is an open religious organization page that has resources there. There's studies, there's devotions, there's worship services, there's liturgy. There's everything provided so that you can continue to have connection and fellowship with your church members and friends who may agree with you and didn't agree with those who have chosen to disaffiliate. I also let you know that we are intentional. Our theology does not allow us to do a communion online and then leave it online. We believe it has to be in real time. That's the way God designed it when he originally did it with the 12, when he instituted it. So this group practices online Holy Communion 3 to 4 times a week so that you, because Holy Communion is a sacrament. We believe that grace is imparted unto us when we receive. And so that is an opportunity for you to also, if you don't have a person clergy person who is able to lead in that of Holy Communion, you can do it online and join with us through there. So just wanted to share those resources with you. Of course, we also want to let you know that anything that Green Forest United Methodist Church has on Facebook, whether it be some type of online study or a worship service, those are free to you as well. If you feel that they are relevant and helping the group that you're associated with to continue in discipleship and connectivity and fellowship, by all means, use them as you see fit. We are here to journey with all who want to know God and grow closer in the relationship with him. All right, enough about that. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you had the opportunity to be anyone in the Bible, who would you choose? Now, I'm not going to expect you to read out loud, say out loud, so I'm going to ask some names out, and you can raise your hand. How many of you would want to be David, the giant killer? How many of you would like to be Samson, the strongest man? Who of you would like to be like Solomon, the wisest person? How many of you would like to be like Sarah, the mother of many nations? Or maybe Deborah, the only female judge of the Old Testament. Or maybe some of you would like to be like Peter or Paul or John or Martha or Mary or Lazarus. Well, whoever you choose, I want you to know that your answers are laudable. But during this sermon time today, I want to introduce to you another character that is often overlooked. A character that has so much to share, but is often dismissed because he's a nameless character within Scripture. The man I'm talking about, the person I'm speaking of, his story is referenced in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. If you brought your Bible, I invite you to open that to Luke 17. We'll be reading from verses 11 through 19. Of course, if you'd like to also use the Bible provided in the pews, open it to page 850, and you can join with me there in reading from those Scriptures. And of course, as always, we provide this passage of Scriptures on the screen for you at home, as well as for those of you who are sitting here who need larger font to be able to make out the words. I want to ask that you, are you ready? Open those of you who are opening the Bibles. Are y'all ready? Will you join with me where it says in verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, Jesus, Master, show us mercy. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner? And then Jesus said to him, get up and go. Your faith has healed you. It's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to always conclude each scriptural reading saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and all respond saying, thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? God, we ask today that you take this common story, one that many of us have heard from our days in vacation Bible school to probably multiple sermons upon this text, but that we ask that you illuminate it for us in a new way today, giving us a deeper insight into our relationship with you, a deeper insight to our purpose for being born and how you interact in and through all phases of life to grow us, nurture us, and prepare us to be about the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, I want to let you know that, you know, sometimes as a preacher, I look at a passage of Scripture and there is so much there. It is so rich in content that you really have a hard time figuring out which angle to preach. Let me give you an example. This passage I just read, it says that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, within the timeline of Christ's life, we have the privilege of knowing, along with Jesus, that he is journeying to his death. And I can't imagine what all must be on his mind, as I'm sure he did not know exactly how he was going to die, but he knew that it was going to be painful. The Gospel of John calls it being, says that's Jesus being troubled in his spirit. Maybe you recognize that phrase from the old King James Version. And yet, in the midst of this weight upon his mind, upon his heart, upon his shoulders, he hears the call of social outcasts. And he responds. In the midst of all that was burdening him, it didn't hinder his willingness to serve the social outcast of his day. What an angle to preach from, right? Here's another one. Another point, I guess, of self-examination. It deals with the fact that whenever a person is touched by God, there is an expectation to show oneself as proof that God is real, God has worked, and God is actively interacting with humanity through signs, wonders, and miracles. And this may be a harsh reality for some this morning, But God expects our response to His interactions within our lives to be one of obedience. And you say, well, preacher, why do you say that? And I'll tell you why. Because in verse 14, He told them to get up and go. And when He told them to get up and go, their skin was still covered with leprosy. It wasn't until they went that the blessing become, the healing become a reality. How many of you today struggle with having blind allegiance unto God when He tells you to do something that you have no idea where it's taking you or where you're going? That's another opportunity for preaching on this Sunday morning from that text. But I don't want us to lose sight that our focus is not on any of those this morning. I mentioned that only to get your creative juices flowing about you, where you need to self-examine your life and about, are you like Jesus in those ways? Are you willing to be obedient in the steps of uncertainty and unclarity? It seems that our unnamed character was. And I think he is one that we should seek to emulate, more and more in our lives. Scripture says that he was the only one who turned back when he noticed he was healed. Now, let me stop right there and say, I believe all 10 lepers, I believe the other 9 were healed as well. But this one, defined as a Samaritan, didn't follow suit with the other 9. I find it funny that I've read many theologians about this text, and some think that the 9 were in such a celebratory state that they may have went to the local pub or to their family's homes and talked about their experience with this itinerant rabbi who simply spoke words over them. And their lack of return didn't mean that they were ungrateful. It just meant that their healing was only physical. How many of you ever heard the idiom, can't see the forest for the trees? Anybody ever heard of that? Have you ever said it? I think that is appropriate to use in describing the 9. You see, they didn't see this situation for what it really was. They may have become lost in the details of the experience, and no doubt the experience was a great one. But they have no perspective of the bigger picture. In the midst of their healing, they were blinded to the situation they were just fully involved in. And yet here is another great teaching point of this passage of Scriptures. But this odd one who returned, he did see. He saw that Jesus did more than cleanse his skin of leprosy. He understood that Christ restored more than his physical life. His interaction with Jesus was a watershed moment. This encounter not only changed his perspective about his history, but altered the course of his future. The moment and healing were miraculous in more ways than one. But the Samaritan, this unnamed character, he received much more, my friends, that day than temporal physical healing. He gained wellness, spiritual wellness. Now, friends, there are numerous teaching points and just as many personal challenges that could be levied upon us from these verses. And I would love nothing more than to be a challenging preacher this morning, because I think this text lays the groundwork for such an opportunity. But I want to do something different today. I don't want to challenge you as much as I want to encourage you to allow our interactions with God to be watershed moments in our lives. When we do, we begin to understand that everything about our past can be used to the glory of God, regardless of how hard, harsh, or hurtful it may have been. Everything about our future should be intertwined with the bigger picture God has imparted unto us in and through His Word, in and through our hearts, and in and through our personal and corporate faith journeys. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that you and I know who have been touched by the Lord. A lot of people who have been blessed by God, but they just simply keep moving through life like the nine. They miss the totality of the experience as a whole. Never understanding the fullness of all that Christ has to offer. Today I want us to see what God is doing in our midst. I want us to truly know spiritual wellness. Now, spiritual wellness begins when one knows that God has touched one's life for a reason. Spiritual wellness manifests when we realize that our gift of salvation comes with a purpose for our lives. One way it manifests is by changing our desires. We not only acknowledge the change, but we see that our desires are being fulfilled because they are desires that have eternal value. Spiritual wellness also means learning to live with the challenges of life and seeing how God is at work in and through those times. I mean, sometimes our trials are used to produce endurance. Sometimes they're used to build character or deepens one's faith. Other times they are resources for helping individuals to have empathy, not simply just sympathy. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is this. Spiritual wellness allows us to examine our experience in conjunction to our purpose in life and establish our why of life. We're all placed here on this earth for a reason. We were all born with an intentional direction that God wanted us to go. Now, we have the ability to refuse. And every one of you who are sitting here today who tell me that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, then I want you to know that you weren't saved to be silent. You weren't saved just so you could get out of hell for free card. You were saved with a purpose. You were saved with an intention. You were touched by the hand of God so that you could be a blessing in the life of somebody else. I've seen Malia make a post. How late, happy birthday to you. Seen Malia make a post 30 minutes, 40 minutes before church this morning talking about, I don't know, basically all the verbiage that she had on the post was really about her praising God. And how that God's hand had touched her, and she was blessed to know what her purpose was. To love children. To serve their community. To do everything that she's doing through her, whatever it's called, the kids thing that she does. The giggles and grins ministry. And good for Malia. Good for Malia because she knows her purpose. She knows her why. Friends, if you're here this morning and you don't know your why, then I'm here to tell you, you can figure it out if you'll just allow your God moments to be watershed moments in your life so that you will know your purpose. Because God won't save you without revealing those things to you. God won't touch you without the intentionality of you being completely transformed from the inside out for His kingdom and His glory. And yet there's a whole lot of folks in this world, some that are in my family, who have been touched by God in miraculous ways, blessed. And they are no more closer to God today than they were the day that God touched them. Because they got caught up in the moment, never recognizing the fullness of the experience. And while they got what they wanted physically at the moment, they never allowed the opportunity for it to sink into their heart and into their mind and into their soul so that they could praise God for the blessing that he just poured out upon them. You see, one thing that I have learned from our character, and I think that you may be able to learn from this character of Scripture, is this. spiritual wellness is different than what most people imagine it will be. His return to Christ solidified the change he couldn't have ever imagined before. His return opened his eyes to a new and rewarding reality. What used to define him had no bearing on his identity anymore. What once constrained him was now turned into his testimony. The visual reminder of what once imprisoned him only made his deliverance that much sweeter. His why, if you will, to life had been answered. And this leper had come to see what it meant to live an abundant life due to Jesus. And scriptures detail that when that became a reality, it was so overwhelming that he openly and unashamedly praised God in a most humble way. The kind of praise that shaped and molded how he would live out the rest of his days. And brothers and sisters, I want us not only to acknowledge the one that returned. Today I want us to yearn to be more like the one that returned. Today I want to encourage each of us to live into this spiritual wellness so that we can see God in every phase of our lives. That we can see God not only within our inner circle, but we have the eyes to see God working outside of that circle and what our roles are in living into that experience with these other people. Spiritual wellness is a deep, deep conversation. Maybe it'd be easier if I just said spiritual growth. And while I could elaborate much longer, I will not. I've encouraged you to do what you need to do to let your experiences with Christ be watershed moments that forever alter what you think about your past and how you see your future going forward. I will close this sermon time with one simple question. When you examine your life and all the ways that Christ has touched and cared for you, what do you see? Do you see a temporal, physical healing? A God who got you out of a difficult situation in the moment? Or have you come to know a Savior who will love you, who will guide you, who will defend you, who will fight for you, in and through every aspect of life? In the words of Dena Tharp, "Be still, for the Lord will defend you. Be still. And know that you have a God who loves you so passionately that his final act of love wasn't death on the cross, but it's a continuous outpouring of everyday adventures at your work, at your home, in your good times, and in your bad." I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.